Hey, everybody. Welcome to It's Real with Jordan and Demi. Our guest today is one of Australia's most beloved performers. She's a singer. She's an actor. She can do a lot of different things. She's got new music coming out. Please welcome Delta Goodrum. How you doing, Delta?
Hi, team. I'm really good. How are you both?
We're good. Happy to have you on here from Australia. You are the third Australian guest we had on, following G Flip and Tim Minchin.
Who are these Australians?
Yes. Shout out to all the Australians.
You love accents on the show.
Yeah. Demi loves accents. She's like an accent queen. She loves different accents. So,
that's
even though she's from the Bronx, she does not have a New York accent. So
I do. Well, it definitely over the years, just like with all the traveling, kind of like went away, but it's there deep down. Love it's the there. Australian though.
Have either of you ever been here?
I have never been to Australia, no. So first of all, I was listening to Hearts on the Run before the show. I feel like I should have been working out while I was listening to it. I felt like I should be training for the Olympics. such good energy on that song. And it's been a few years since you made an album of original songs. So what's the energy behind this? Is this, whatever this is part, I'm sure this is going to be part of a bigger album or something. Is it going to be that kind of like energetic pop music, or is it going to be more that those ballads that you're known for?
Well, I think that, you know, sort of I'd been on the, when the world had sort of opened up again and we were back road and touring, and last year my whole year was just filled with tours and doing live shows, and I kind of had that energy of we were just on the run. We were like, we were going, the band was coming together, and we just kind of wrote a song from a place of just saying, like, when you think you can, your boundaries, like you're in a marathon, you're running, you think you can't go any further, this song's kind of that motivation that says, like, keep going, don't give up, you know, just break your own boundaries and your own limits. And that's kind of where I guess it was written from. And also just when I was in the studio producing it, we were just, you know, just kind of wanting it to feel super live. And what is the energy live? That's really different. Yes, I'm first and foremost, I love a ballad. I grew up making a piano girl first and foremost. But I just kind of that, I also just love to rock, have fun with the audience and get a, and I guess I just want some of those songs that just give so much energy, you know?
Yeah. And you originally performed it on Australian Idol to widespread acclaim. Everyone was like, all right, Delta's back. So
I don't feel like I've gone anywhere. I definitely feel like I've been consistently the first up, but I, you know, getting to do those, you know, I did this as a coach for 9 years over here, and it was a, you know, sort of, I always love sort of new talent as well, and love seeing talented people, and I'm always sort of a part of those shows. I always love kind of getting there and cheering everyone on too, and this thing to have a sing with my friends there, and just, you know, it's great.
You know, we've had several contestants from singing competition shows on, but we never had a judge on, and the one thing that like every judge has to find is balance of being, you know, you gotta do your job, you gotta eliminate people, but you also don't want to be a jerk. So when you were doing that, how did you kind of find that balance of being constructive with your criticism, but also, like, you know, being encouraging to the contestants?
You know, you definitely have to learn to be truthful and fearless and kind. I want everyone's dreams to come true. I don't have a, you know, I'm very good at me. Like I stay in my lane and I do what I do. I'm always up against myself, wanting to be better than I was yesterday. So for me, the heart space that I would sit in the red chair was always just, I was always on their side. You know, I want to be entertained. I want you to do a great performance. And for me, it's no one to say that they can't do whatever they want to do in this world, but it was, you know, in that moment, if their energy rose to that occasion, or you had to be truthful that in this moment, this is where this journey ends, but it's always up to you. It's always up to you to make that moment happen. And I guess that's why I stayed there 9 years on like it's a decade. I did 150 episodes. But again, I'd had a whole life prior to that, but I always went into it trying to find that balance between technical and emotional, and I was always way too invested. I always, my heart was always way too, come on.
Yeah. We've had like a few guests that have been on that have come from American Idol, America's Got Talent. And one thing I wonder is like, some of them have never even played a show prior to going on a series like that, right? Has anyone ever had any like freak out moments or stage fright that you had to be like, hey, calm down? Like, oh, you know what I mean?
100%. But I think that is also, you know, being an artist, learning to have that skill, dealing with our adrenaline and dealing with our emotions comes with also the task at hand to be a pro and to do what you do and go out there and connect with people on stage through song. And I take it as it's a part of what you have to learn and do. So I always kind of, you know, it's the same when I'm as an artist, I always get butterflies. My always you know, when I first started, my first album had just broken, and the first like awards show, like our TV awards, a TV show called Neighbours, and I'd got the Best New Talent, and I was about 17 years old, and I swear you, I was like this. I was like shivering and shaking with nerves and my whole body, and I spoke for way too long, and it was mortifying. But I ended up with Dreams Really Can Come True. It still haunts me to this day. But what I did, started then my life took many turns, and I realized that there's just, you know, this is all entertainment and music and the arts, and it's not meant to be that scary. It's meant to be fun. It's meant to be from a place of love. So
yeah, when you were younger, when you hit it, you had all these number one singles, you're on this hugely popular show Neighbours. Did you think you handled all the attention and the fame like you wanted to, or looking back, are you like, I wish I would have handled something differently?
No, I think I'm proud of that. I've always stayed true to my intention. I don't think I am. Whilst some of it I would have loved to have done better, of course. Like, but I do think that you know, I've done the best I could throughout. You know, I've always tried to lead with kindness and with love in my heart. That, you know, everybody, the different moments of phenomenon, or when we've had some crazy moments where, you know, where the album has done some amazing, wonderful things and like lightning in a bottle. And I've always accepted that they're all just moments as well. And not one thing defines me. I'm always moving forward, you know?
Absolutely. What was the, did you have a moment when you realized how famous you were? Did you, a crowd that overwhelmed you, or a public appearance where you're like, oh man, I'm a big deal now?
Well, it's funny. I don't think I'll ever feel like I don't know how much of my story, but I will say there was one moment where the first album had just started, and they were doing called indoors, you know, you're going and signing at the shopping centers. It was before Twitter and Instagram, and before people could, you know, access you and have a lot more personable. And I remember being at the shopping center, and I said, you know, I think I had my third number one. The album was number one at the time. And I was like, oh, is anybody out there? Like, did anybody show up? And then I remember this look on the people's face, and they were like, yeah, they showed up. And I remember the doors opening, and I remember going, oh my God. And it was the first time I went, whoa, like this is real. The taking home the album. And it was the first time I saw it physically. I had shut down this shopping center, and it was a real, you know, that was the first time I ever went, oh, well, the music's taking on a life of its own. And that's cool. But then I don't know, again, my story had twists and turns after that, and it was a pretty unique experience.
Yeah. we will go down the darker path of that. But
I'm curious,
go ahead,
about Demi. Like the duet, like artist, what's that?
Oh, I was gonna say, it's not dark in the sense that, like, you know, when
you're here today, so.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? I'm pumped. This is just a part of what makes it. So having a number one and getting diagnosed with cancer at the same time is a very unique path, obviously. I've been able to have, but that moment in its moment has been able to have a lot of good come out of it, and that is what we're able to do now.
I want to talk about acting. Like, which one? I know you probably can't just like pick one, but like, if you had to pick one, what's your favorite? Like, what's your favorite?
I mean, I look at it holistically, like it's all connected, like I love when we jump into a show. I love like getting to do the rom-com and the movies and I love, I don't know. I just see it as I grew up doing the arts. That's it. Like I love all of it combined.
The one thing I could say I can only watch scary movies or rom-coms, right? So I love a good, that's the only thing like my attention span can go for. Let's talk about that rom-com. Behind the scenes, like, what is it like? What's it really like shooting a rom-com?
It's quick, right? It's a pretty quick shooting schedule.
Pretty quick, and it's a lot of fun. We were in a great location in Airlie Beach in Australia and had a great crew. And I mean, that Love Is in the Air was just, it was a joy. It was really fun. And it kind of came out of left field in that moment. And I was all right, we'll jump over and did it in, last year. And it was a great experience. I mean, you're always learning process, music takes me on a path of that's my soul and my spirit, and acting is a part of my play that I enjoy. And I think that, I'm always learning, I sort of go, okay, how can I process this? Or how do we learn at this script? Because my brain, I can barely remember my song sometimes. Little I'm trying to remember someone else's script. but
how much did you learn? Because you played a pilot in the movie. How much did you actually learn about flying? Because you had to learn enough just to like look like you were actually doing what you're supposed to be doing, right? Did you learn like the basic layout of the cockpit, or like how did you get the flying part down?
I wouldn't be flying you guys around just yet, I don't know if you'd sort of like, she can be the captain. But my partner, his dad was actually a pilot. And so he used to always say, share with us like story about, when he was flying and all this stuff. And now every time I'm like, yes, Bruce, but I too am a pilot. So
yes, I played a pilot in the movie. So, yeah.
So two pilots in the house.
Go ahead. Who said it?
I was just saying there's two pilots in the household now, Bruce. So
yeah, exactly. Exactly. Respect. You command respect now. Do you have a favorite rom-com of all time?
I mean, I love all rom-coms. I'm a total rom-com girl. And I also love, that's what she's, when you were talking about Back to the Future is my favorite movie of all time as well. So I do love a bit of fantasy mix, that trilogy is my favorite. Every rom-com you can imagine, I've probably watched.
They don't make them like they used to. Yeah. And then we're just saying, I went to film school and I wrote a paper about rom-coms. So I actually wrote, like, I did a whole thing on rom-coms and how they, why they declined in quality over the years and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Anyway. Why? Tell me why.
Give me
what was the summary that you got to?
Well, the summary was that essentially studios, by the peak was like late 80s, early 90s was kind of the peak of like when Harry Met Sally and Sleepless in Seattle and stuff like that. I love Bull Durham, the baseball movie with Susan Sarandon and Tim Robbins, which I think is a rom-com. But basically my thesis was that the studios quit giving big budgets to these movies, and therefore they didn't attract the big talent, and therefore they just kind of quit putting as much effort into them. It was my basic thing, I don't want to bash any actors on the air.
It might have worked in my favor.
We had Laura Morano on the show about a year ago, and she did that. I think hers was filmed in New Zealand, actually. And she was saying how great the experience was with Netflix and the accommodations and the sets and the crews were all really great. So, I mean, I think Netflix is really stepping up their game when it comes to those kinds of movies.
Yeah, I mean, I had a great experience. I found the whole experience really, really fantastic, and I'm looking forward to many more projects with them.
Yeah. Now you have such you've been recording music for more than 20 years. Now you have such a deep catalog of well-known hits. Is there a song that you just like hits you every time, even if you sang it 1,000 times? Is there like one song that you just like, it just like, you're just back to where you're 17, 18 years old again?
I mean, I find that they, you know, as we know, songs can be such teleportals to, you know, to our memories and unlock our you know, total visual escapade of our journey on the planet. But I find that, you know, they always take on, I always recognize like with a lyric that I might have written from, you know, 10 years ago, or like all of a sudden the albums feel like, even though I feel like I'm, you know, just getting started, and I feel like I'm kind of going into my best era, because it gets more fun as time goes on. You can enjoy it more rather than when you know, kind of first start and you're in such a process, you know, everything's so emotive because it is you and your heart on the line. And as you get older, you know, I'm still in my 30s, but I did start very, very young. And I find that, you know, I can, a lyric can hit me just in a moment, just out of nowhere, that, you know, I might get a memory because I've sung the song maybe so many times, or in this moment, I'm just so grateful that this moment is happening. Or like I'm last year we were doing the Opera House, we did the anniversary tour of the first album, and there was numerous moments in that moment that I would look out, it's packed, and people are sitting back and they're having their own journey of their own life soundtrack, and there was a palpable connection of just like us, you know, kind of playing that album top to bottom. And there was numerous times my eyes would feel, you know, teary, or a song lyric, like there was a song called In My Own Time that I wrote on that record, and I thought, wow, I really respond to that now, like I'm in my own time doing my own, you know, you just sort of, you respond to different lyrics that will make you a bit teary. Separate to my songs though, Jordan, I'll say separate to my song, Both Sides Now by Joni Mitchell will get me every time. I can never listen to that.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You must be not a human if you listen to that song and you don't cry.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. I cry every time around Christmas when River starts to play on the radio.
I mean, I did a cover of that for my Christmas record. That song also just kills me. It's just
beautiful. Oh yeah. Gorgeous.
All I honestly love you, Olivia.
What was that? Go ahead, Demi.
Sorry, I was just about to say, like, can we talk about the eclipse for a second?
Did you? Yeah.
Is it happening now?
It already happened.
It already happened. So there was an eclipse. I feel like you're a spiritual person, Delta. And, like, I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, you might be into astrology. But the eclipse thing, astrology, I'm very not, like, that's something I don't have much info on. Were you one of those people with glasses outside today watching the eclipse?
They didn't get the eclipse in Australia, I don't think.
Not yet.
I'm not sure we got it yet. I did think it looked bright outside. But we missed out on that, I'm sorry, Demi. I hope that you get some glasses, made a wish, and manifest.
What is your sign?
I'm a Scorpio.
Victoria is a Scorpio. We have one of my friends who's an actor is a Scorpio as well, and you reminded me of her just a little bit, so that's so crazy. Are you
They've both been on soap operas. That's one thing they have in common.
What's your star sign?
I'm a Cancer. Jordan, what are you?
I'm a Leo, and I'm not an astrology person at all. I have no idea about anything, so I'm the wrong person. But Demi really enjoys it. Demi, we'll read your palm, I guess.
Oh my God. Yeah. Would you say you have like any like cool spiritual practices? I know like just being an artist and like just everything can be like a wild ride. Is there anything that you've done or kind of claims you to have done to just kind of keep yourself together during the craziness, I think, that maybe your life has right now?
I think, I think you can never overlook the simple things, you know, in life. I think that, that all the basics are there for a reason and the cliches are there for a reason. I think that your good health and well-being comes to just everything in moderation, and like, except for coffee, which must be at all times of the day.
Is a caffeine fiend. So
wait, how many coffees did you have today?
I mean, our day is only 10 here. This is probably my second. This is only my second though. So normally it is 10 a.m. But
yeah, it's 10 a.m. So still got a long way to go.
So you're going to be like on number 5 by 7, right?
It's definitely possible. It depends what kind of day we're in for today. We're in Yeah, we have festivals coming up in the UK. So we have to do our shows and bring them together, and we have a lot of projects on the horizon. So we're just rock and rolling over here with many a coffee.
Yeah, Delty, I know you spent some time in the UK and the new single's taking off in the UK. When a song hits in a different country, is there like we need to go to that country and do media there and do concerts and do like shows, or does that even affect it? Like if you get a hit in the UK, or do you have to like take a trip and put in FaceTime there? How does that work?
I think you can do whatever you want, really. I think, if you can pull it together, and of course, like I'm so grateful the UK is so good to me throughout my life with music. And we had our European tour last year and I'm heading back there now in June, and then you just kind of go over when it's time to have new music. And yes, Hearts on the Run they've been so good, Radio 2, and we did this BBC orchestra performance in February where you get to perform with the orchestra and make the turn the songs into an orchestral version, which was really fun. I'm all about the new song, and then you go over whenever you can, really, or whenever's in the schedule that you can pull it together. It's really up to you. You can paint anything. I mean, you guys can work out. I'm sure by speaking to many artists right now, there's no one way to do any of this right now.
That's a good tip. Like do it what makes you feel comfortable, what's good for your workflow, what's good for your mental health. Totally. 100%, totally.
100%.
Yeah. And is Hearts on the Run, I'm assuming, is there going to be an album in the fall or in the summer, or what's coming up in terms of new music?
Yeah.
What can you say? Yeah.
I can say that just sort of focusing on Hearts on the Run at the moment, and then pull together the rest of the songs.
Okay. Moving on. Gotcha. We know the drill. We've been there.
Yeah. There's lots of new music. It's just really, it's sort of, I always think new songs are like a little horse race or something. You know, you sort of see how long they stay in your you see which one stays with you, and then you go, oh, this one's staying with me, I'm still gravitating to this song. Or if songs kind of drop off that you thought were songs you really wanted. So I'm just watching my observations on how I respond to my own songs.
Okay, cool, good answer.
I need to have a girly moment with you, because I have had to do this a few times on the show, because I mean, first of all, you're just glowing, right? And as you know, as a girl,
it was really like I didn't pull myself together as well tonight. No, so thank
you. Literally glowing, and it's like, but every day I see a new product in the market, a new moisturizer. Everyone's doing totally different skincares. Like, what kind of new products like that you are just fanning over right now that you can tell everybody about? Like, give us your secret.
I am a very proud Revlon girl. Have been for about 3 years, and we are a great team in sort of our messaging of like living boldly, and when we work campaigns together. And I love their products because I get sent them. I am with my team Revlon, I get to dive into many products, so my entire makeup collection is Revlon right now.
Awesome. Do you get to try things because you're part of the team? Do you get to try things before they're available to the public? Like, do they do that for you?
I do, actually. Nice. I do. It's a lot of fun. And you'd be like, oh, this one's really great, or this one's... So, I really have enjoyed it. Again, it's been about 3 years. And they're just great. They're great, timeless, authentic. You know, I think in this moment, there's so many options, like you mentioned, Demi. I find that I gravitate to brands that I have had a trusted space.
100%. Speaking of Revlon, though, the Revlon blow dry brush, I live by. That is my everyday. That's all I use.
Your hair looks just that beautiful.
Oh,
I'm not representing. Your hair looks gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. It's the Revlon brush. It's literally the Revlon blow drying brush. That's all you need. Shout out Revlon.
Love that. I love that.
I feel really left out, but I trust the Revlon brush is as good as advertised.
Well, you have some lovely hair.
I do have. You know, when I was a kid, my hair stood straight up. It was like this. So yeah. I couldn't use the Revlon brush when I was 9. That would have been really helpful.
It's awesome.
yeah. So, you know, I'm sure you're sick about answering questions about going out on your own independently as far as releasing music. But what I'm interested in is not about like the experience of being independent. I'm interested in the process of now. Do you feel like you have more freedom over what music you release, how it's released, what kind of arrangements, like what advantages have you experienced so far of being independent?
I think what I have really enjoyed is that I was with Sony for 20 years, and I loved every minute of my, you know, team. And I think when COVID happened, I think I just understood, okay, it's a change. We've got to, you know, moving on. Like, the world has changed, gotten really fast, and everybody is directly connected. And I think I just recognized that there was a really big shift. So, and I'd always been a captain of my own boat, so to speak. And I think that it just had sped up, and I had a great team around me that we just kind of were doing our own thing. And it just sort of was a natural progression that I moved into, where it was, I have wonderful relations with great people that I love at Sony, where I worked for so long. But there was a shift in what I wanted next. And I think that it's been really incredible, and I'm so proud of sort of everything we've been able to accomplish in the past couple of years. And we're kind of firing cylinders, and it's very busy. And I wouldn't change it. It's great.
Do you bounce any ideas off your fiance in terms of, like, are you like, you ever play demos for him in the car or anything like that? Like, how does that really?
He is so warm here. He is, of course, I speak to him about everything. So we are a team, and it would be impossible for him not to be completely immersed into, our trains of thought as a team. And he produces the records with me. You know, he plays every single instrument. He's a total master of, instrumentation, and my ability to throw ideas and him catch them in a really, like, calm and organized way is really fun.
Please tell us the love story. Speaking of rom-com, like, we're in this right now. Tell us how you guys met, and how did you know, like, he was it, like, or not? Did you not know? What's the story?
Girl talk. Matt and I met. No, not at all. Matt and I met through music, and we were playing together, as in he was my guitarist and came and joined when I was on a tour in 2016, and so the rest is history. That's our rom-com. We might have to work on the rom-com together, team. What about both of you? What do I need to know you're about? Like, let me know the love lives. Let me know that.
Jordan loves to tell our story.
I'm single, and Demi keeps it close to her chest.
Oh, Demi, goodness.
Right.
Yeah. Will she let's just put it this way, she has a little bit of a long distance thing going on. So
no, I have a crush.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is
yeah.
he in Australia by any chance? Or are they in Australia? Do you want to come over to Australia?
I will definitely hit you up if I'm in Australia. Nice. Speaking of, you guys have those little animals called Quakers, right?
Quakers, yeah.
Can you tell us Quakers. About that? Because I actually have a quaker stuffed animal, and I didn't know. I thought it was a beaver for a long time. And then I know, yeah, but it is a native animal to Australia. Can you tell us about that fun fact? The
classic? Oh,
hey. You're asking to be like a zoologist here.
I would have to Google myself, but I do know that they are gorgeous little animals. And funny, I literally said last night, as I was falling asleep, I saw on a commercial, I'm like, oh, that's so cute. They have little quokkas on there. It was the first time I'd said that word in like years. And here you are saying, what about quokkas? And I'm like, that is so funny. Oh, I don't know the history, but I will tell you that there is some men animals in Australia. But you know, generally speaking, they're all pretty friendly. So.
Yeah, all in America, we see these terrifying kangaroo videos of like people getting attacked by these jacked, muscular kangaroos. So
they're jacked.
Yeah,
yeah, they are. They are. Some of those videos are real. They you know, they're boxers.
Have you ever had an encounter with a wild animal in you know, like? Are you a nature person? That's a good question. Are you a nature person?
Yes, I am a nature person, of course. I grew up in the trees, so to speak. So I grew up out of the city, and you know, you definitely would get the prize of a lifetime when a big huntsman would, you know, be there in the morning. Definitely, you know, they're friendly spiders, let's be clear, but they are large. And yeah. And I'm still, you do as an Australian, you know, if you grew up a little bit out of the city, you do tend to sort of, if you wake up in the middle of the night and you might come across one that's accidentally, you know, found its way into you know, one of the corners of the doors or something, definitely, I mean, there's many TikTok videos and many that people show the gigantic huntsmen that tend to make surprises. I remember I was once in the car had been outside and we were driving on the freeway and it literally came up through the vent and it was just like, boom, boom, boom. We were like,
sounds terrifying. No, that's a no-go. That's a no-go. Australia is terrifying. Australia is terrifying. Yeah. See, I give me some words in New York. Yeah. So Jimmy has to deal with like rats and cockroaches, you know, on the street in New York, but that's nothing. That's nothing. That's nothing. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, these things, that's going to hurt you. The little guys, the little huntsmen's are not going to hurt you.
Yeah. All right. Well, we need to let you go, Delta, but thank you so much for joining us on the show. Congrats on the new single. We hope Thanks. To see new music down the line, shows. I'm sure you've got some shows coming up in the summer. Anything you want to like shout out that's coming up you want people to look out for?
Oh, well, we're looking forward to going over to Marty Hoopla in the UK and just getting stateside as well at some point soon, right? The last trip we did with the Backstreet Boys was just an absolute epic adventure. So I'm looking forward to getting back there and doing some shows.
Speaking of Backstreet Boys real quick, is Kevin Richardson as dreamy in person as he appears on camera?
Listen, John, they're Backstreet Boys. So, yeah. You know, and you know what's cool is that his wife was even cooler. Like she was as cool as they go.
Nice.
She was like cool, girl, just like Kristen's gorgeous. And they have like the most beautiful family. So yeah, Kevin and his family are dreaming.
I remember when I was younger, that was like, everyone loved Kevin. Everyone loved Kevin. Yeah. All right. All right, Delta.
Everyone loves Howie.
Oh, Howie. Yeah. Howie's a great guy. Howie had the cool glasses. Gotta love the Howie glasses. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Delta. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you later. Appreciate it.
You guys say cheese.
Thank you.
Bye.
BTS.
See you later. Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you too.
Bye.
Bye, Delta.
All right.
Shout out, Delta. We love an Australian accent. My goodness. I could hear her like talking for days.
Yeah. And I guess it has been like 3 years since we had an Australian on the show. It's been a while since we, you know, and just a little behind the scenes, it's right now it's daylight savings time in Australia is starting. And we like had to do all sorts of math to make sure we were coordinated on the right time zone, because Demi and I are 3 hours away. And then Sydney is 12 hours ahead of New York, but now it's actually 13, I guess, or I don't know, but we got it done. We got it done. And Demi is at a sidewalk tea house. Where are you
actually?
You're in Brooklyn?
Brooklyn, yeah.
Bring some memories for me. Bring it back
Oh my God. Me and Jordan used to link up in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Before the podcast was like really a thing.
Yeah.
This was the spot. Oh, Jordan, remember we used to have like little meetings when we first heard the podcast?
Yeah.
And like we went to these cafes. Yeah, we would go to cafes and like, hey Jordan, so how do we do a podcast?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's it. As always, go to popdust.com for the latest in pop culture and music news. Follow me on Instagram at Jordan Edwards Studio. Follow Demi at Demi_Ramos. Check out our past episodes on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, we'll see you later.